with Dr. Lena on Intergalactic FM. Heart to heart. Heart to heart.
Can you help?
Heart to heart. Heart to
heart. Can you help?
Good evening and welcome to Heart to Heart with Dr. Lena.
I know how frustrating it can be when you're out of work or in a bad relationship. You're feeling stuck or trapped and desperate to find that missing something you've been searching for, your true path or life purpose. You're miserable, frustrated, don't know where to turn. You want help and want answers so you can get on with your life. You want solutions now. Well, the good news is I can help you get the answers you're seeking. I'm Dr. Lena, and you're listening to Heart to Heart on Intergalactic FM. Get ready to change your life. Our first question of the night comes from famous DJ Kenny Hanlon in Dublin. He writes, "I had a really bizarre dream last night that involved you. Myself, Potty, and his girlfriend ended up in your apartment, but it wasn't your actual apartment. You were just kind of giving out to me in general. Then Potty jumped off a cliff, obviously situated outside your gaff, but he started sort of flying about, sort of like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future 2, but without a hoverboard. I thought this was particularly mad and dangerous, but then I gave it a go and I was able to do it. It felt very real. What does this mean?" Well, Kenny, flying dreams fall under a category of dreams known as lucid dreaming. Lucid dreams occur when you become aware that you're dreaming. Many dreamers describe the ability to fly in their dreams as exhilarating, joyful, and a liberating experience. This probably contrasted nicely with the beginning of your dream where I was insulting you. If you're flying with ease and enjoying the scene and landscape below, then it suggests that you're on top of a situation. You've risen above something. It may also mean that you've gained a different perspective on things. Flying dreams and the ability to control your flight is representative of your own personal sense of power. In reality, we can't really fly, of course. Thus, such dreams may represent that which is beyond your physical limitations. In your mind, you can be anybody and do anything. Another way of interpreting flying dreams is that these dreams symbolize your strong mind and will. You feel undefeatable, and nobody can tell you what you cannot do and accomplish. Undoubtedly, these dreams leave you with a great sense of freedom. Our next song is Fly to Me by Aleph.
Forever, fly to me, from my time.
Our next question comes from Boris in the Netherlands. Dear Dr. Lena, my problem's getting out of hand. You see, I've become obsessed with redheads. Tall, short, skinny, round, young, old, I just can't get enough of redheads. I have Boris Becker posters on my wall and have watched all of Julianne Moore's films on repeat. It's getting to the stage where I'm thinking of dyeing my body hair red to try and show my solidarity with this beautiful but oppressed minority. How should I best express my love of the pale, freckled ones? As you probably know, Boris, red hair is the rarest natural hair color in humans. The pale skin associated with red hair may be of advantage in far northern climates where sunlight is scarce. The American Journal of Human Genetics suggests that the vividness and rarity of red hair may lead to its becoming desirable in a partner, and therefore it could become more common through sexual selection. One reason you might be so attracted to redheads is due to the long-held belief that redheads are highly sexed. For example, Jonathan Swift satirizes redhead stereotypes in part 4 of Gulliver's Travels when he writes, "It is observed that the redhead of both sexes are more libidinous and mischievous than the rest, whom yet they much exceed in strength and activity." Another characteristic of redheads that you might find attractive is the fact that people with red hair are more susceptible to pain, according to doctors. Research carried out in the United States suggests that redheads need 20% more anesthesia than people with other hair colors. So perhaps there's some correlation between redheads' increased pain sensitivity and your attraction to them. Maybe you want to hurt redheads. In the Netherlands every summer, there's a festival called Redhead Day. Maybe next year you should go and ogle the gingers to your heart's content. Boris, this next song is for you. It's Red for Love by Grant Miller.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Heart with Dr. Lena.
Our next question of the night comes to us from FashionBoy88. He writes, "Dear Dr. Lena, as I'm slowly but surely becoming an adult, I've decided to change my clothing style and stop dressing like a 16-year-old skater boy. So far, I've been very satisfied with the results. Turns out that I look astonishing in Scandinavian designer clothing and girls can't resist me. No problem so far, except that my friends have stopped taking me seriously and don't want to go out with me when I wear my asymmetrical skinny jeans, white shirts, and silk scarves. Should I just dig up my bunker hoodie and baggy army pants when I go to a party? Or just expect that no one will ever want to talk to me again because I'm dressing in style? What do you think is more important, looking hot or looking credible? Please advise. FashionBoy88. P.S. I really want a fashionable purse. Will this alienate me even more? Hi, FashionBoy88. I'm guessing you're from the Netherlands. My boss is Dutch, and he struggles with this problem too. He carries a man purse to work and gets teased by everyone on our team, but that hasn't stopped him. You've told me a lot in your letter. First, you look astonishing in your stylish clothes. Second, girls love your style. And third, your friends don't want to hang out with you. I think you should be true to your heart and dress as fruitily as you'd like. It gets the chicks, and it obviously makes you happy. And we can't all be draped in murder capital T's all the time. The other night, I was out with two robots who both showed up wearing the same bunker shirts. Trust me, wearing matching outfits looks a lot more queer than fashionable scarves. If your friends don't want to hang out with you because of how you dress, they're just as shallow as you sound. As you get older, you'll find that your relationships with your friends will change. Perhaps you need to bring some new people into your circle of friends, people that will accept you no matter what you wear."
Thank you. So try to ruin this play. Sex and drugs and a quiet rose. Do you still intend to save your soul? We live in the narcissistic age. It's just a golden cage.
Our next question is from Speculator in Brooklyn. Why am I so picky? I got tons of girls everywhere, yet none of them seem to be the one for me. Is there something wrong with me, or am I just a jerk? Well, Speculator, that's not a lot of information to go on, so there are a lot of possibilities. It's possible that you may not want to get close to someone due to fear of rejection. You might prefer to preemptively reject them before they have a chance to reject you. It might also be that you don't love yourself enough. The more self-critical someone is, the more critical they are of others. So if you're constantly giving yourself a hard time, it's probably hard for you not to do it to others. But the real issue might be that you don't really want to be in a relationship or just aren't ready to have a girlfriend right now. You've probably seen it before. When two people who are gagging to be in a relationship meet, they're able to ignore all the millions of reasons why they shouldn't get involved and only start to become aware of them months later. Everybody's gross if you look at them in an unfriendly way, whereas in the heat of passion, or after a bottle of wine, anybody can seem attractive. I read a study that claimed arranged marriages are just as happy as the Western kind that are based on romance and attraction. It just goes to show that compatibility and initial physical attraction is less important than just wanting to be a part of a couple. You'll put up with a lot if you want to be in a relationship. If you don't, even minor irritations quickly become deal breakers. So if when you look at women and all you can see are their flaws, it probably means that you don't really want to be in a relationship. The other possibility is, as you suggest, that you're just a jerk. The next song is I'm Not Satisfied by the Fine Young Cannibals.
Keep on working.
Heart to Heart is now on every Tuesday night on IFM4, CBS, 2200 Central European Time. Feel your feelings, heart to heart.
Our next question comes from Morris in Mayo. He writes, "Dear Dr. Lena, I've got problems interacting with people. I've destroyed every relationship I've ever been in. I'm lonely and will be alone for the rest of my life due to my serious personality flaws. I'm difficult to be around. I'm argumentative, I hold grudges, and I can never admit that I'm wrong. People don't like me, and I'm dying from a lack of human contact. What should I do?" Hi, Morris. Well, I guess it's good how honest you are about your own character defects. You're probably being too hard on yourself, though. If you don't want to be alone, you're gonna have to change, but you do have the ability to do that. From your email, it sounds like you're ready to change, but don't know how. Change is a slow, long-term process. It doesn't happen overnight. Talking to a therapist might help you understand your own patterns and learn how to change them. Even small things can make a big difference in how people feel about you. For example, learning to say "I'm sorry" is really important. When you act like a dickhead and realize it 2 days later, instead of just feeling bad about it, why don't you apologize? It will make the other person feel better, but you will too. Also, you might want to consider the possibility that you're depressed. Your email makes you sound pretty miserable. When you're that unhappy, making changes can seem even harder. So you might want to talk to a doctor about that. Exercising and eating a healthy diet can also help. Ultimately, it's up to you to decide which is more painful, being miserable and alone or trying to change. Don't take the next song personally. I do think you can be happy if you want. Here's "You Won't Be Happy" by The Beat. Question of the night comes from Most Complicated Robot. He writes, "Does disco really ultimately suck? The majority of people don't get it, don't feel it, don't want it. Are we so twisted to like it and play it and dance to it? Well, most complicated robot, you're definitely asking the wrong person. I'm not likely to be objective on this one. The short answer is no, we're not wrong to like disco. In fact, I like to think that we show a greater sensitivity to art and culture and just have better taste than the general public. Here's one of my personal favorites, Keep On Music by Danny Keith.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Heart to Heart. We'll be on again next Tuesday at 2200 Central European Time. That's 9 p.m. in the UK. Heart to Heart will be going on hiatus in a month while I continue my emotional research and travel the globe. So if you've always wanted to submit a question, now is the time to do it. Please visit hearttoheartradio.blogspot.com, where you can also get past episodes, track listings, and sign up to get an email whenever there's a new show. Sometimes you just gotta give yourself what you wish someone else would give you. Dr. Phil McGraw.
We can make it, we can fake it if it's real. Heart to heart, we can make it just by saying what we feel. We can learn to share our trouble, we can love each other double. Heart to heart, we can make it if we try.
Intergalactic.